work by my next guest, tagline, The Dance of American Diplomacy, Martha Graham's Cold War. It frames the story of Martha Graham and her particular brand of dance, modernism, as pro-Western Cold War propaganda used by the United States government to promote American democracy. Let's talk about this in these times. Author Victoria Phillips on the line. Good morning to you, Victoria.
Good morning, Shelley. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Of course, academia, very important to you, specializing in Cold War history, cultural diplomacy, of course, international relations. We've seen your articles out and about, but it's nice to know that you were a dancer at one point in your life.
I was. I had the privilege of studying with Martha Graham in the 1970s, which was part of what inspired the book.
Nice. I want to get into, obviously, details of Martha Graham's Cold War. Tell me more. If one has not read the bio about Martha Graham or knows of her legacy, who was she?
Martha Graham was known as one of the great 20th century geniuses, equated with Picasso in art, Einstein in science, Gandhi in calling for peace. And human relations. And she was known for her particular approach to dance, which stripped away the who, the where, the why, the when, and went straight to the what of it. Her first work, Lamentations, speaks to human grief. And so that was her initial foray into making a name for herself as a modernist in 1930.
Well, here we go, bringing on the Cold War with Martha Graham, described as a fascinating, highly readable, and well-researched narrative, showing how Martha Graham wedded the art of modern dance to America's Cold War cultural offenses. Let's talk about your theme in your words, Victoria.
So you may say, well, all right, 1930, she established this modernist universal approach to dance. In other words, no matter what our experiences are, we can all understand grief, lament. How is this in the world interesting in the Cold War? Well, of course, as the Cold War was being fought, the United States was looking for an engagement with the hearts and minds of cultures globally. And that is where Martha Graham's approach to a universal dance became so vital. And so her idea that she could tap each human being, no matter what their experience of the world, was perfect for American propaganda. Of course, the other idea was that this technique was built in America. It was free. It had bare feet. It was of the people. It was an individualist expression, the freedom of democracy. And so she didn't make it with an eye towards going on tour under Eisenhower and every president thereafter through Bush or performing in Roosevelt's White House. She was looking for a particular art form that then became extremely useful for the government in the Cold War.
Yes. Her narratives, I see, told of America's freedoms, even after McCarthy and, well, via the authentic racial harmony and inclusion in her company, what, the illusion of peaceful race relations in the U.S. during Jim Crow? I guess my question is, how'd she deal with those dissonances?
This is where Martha Graham, for our period right now, is very important. Other choreographers are known as the first choreographers to put an African American on stage in a duet with a Caucasian white dancer in a love moment. And it was actually Martha Graham who did that. Her work, Diversion of Angels, is about love. And the purity of love was represented by Mary Hinkson, an African American dancer, and Bertram Ross, a white Jewish dancer. And again, she did not put them on stage to make a statement. She put them on the stage because she said that when they dance together, they are knowing of this purity of love. Martha Graham, in the interwar years between the two world wars, when there was prejudice against Jewish dancers, she took Jewish dancers. In World War II, when Roosevelt was putting Japanese people into internment camps. She hired Yuriko out of an internment camp and toured with her throughout the United States. In 1951, she took Mary Hinkson and Matt Tierney and was touring the South and took a deep hit to income when they hit a train station that said, "Negroes this way, whites this way," and Yuriko looked at Martha and said, "Which way do I go?" And I think this is a really profound moment. At that point, she stopped touring the South very quickly and felt very principled towards bringing her company into a racially, ethnically, religiously mixed group.
Martha Graham's Cold War, The Dance of American Diplomacy, author Victoria Phillips on the line. Modernism could have emerged only from the U.S., argued post-World War II scholars you present, yet interwar books, what, from the U.S. tell a different story? Can I ask which history is correct?
Well, of course, I think mine is. Well, I should say ours. There is no doubt from new scholarship that's emerged globally, because now we understand it as a global Cold War, and we understand history as a global event. The modernism emerged from Germany, and a woman named Mary Wigman, Laban, and many others, and there were some very important Japanese dancers who then studied with Wigman in Germany. So, and even the United States critics understood in 1927-28, really through 1930, that the modern dance was a German form. You then have the historians in the later years, about 1947-49, the critics saying that modern dance is American because the Japanese and the Germans could not possibly create something that was free.
I'm moving along here Berlin 57, Asia 74. Jimmy Carter's Goodwill Tour, 1979. What, one of her gifts was playing to the opportunities of the moment? What's this Egypt mania?
You know, this is, again, a fascinating ability that Martha Graham has, which is to absolutely tap into the current day moment. And she did this with the Camp David Accords and the rage in the United States for all things Egyptian. So you had standing lines, and I think one of the first times that tickets were sold for a museum exhibit to see the King Tut exhibit. The other thing she tapped into was this sense of disco mania. So it was Egypt mania, disco mania. And she created a work that she set in the Temple of Dendur at the Museum of Modern Art with costumes by Halston. For those of us who know our fashion history, he was one of the great kind of disco mania Studio 54 designers. So she revamped, in a sense, the experience of Cleopatra for modern audiences. Now, you would think this is awful cultural appropriation, yes. And oddly, from what I can tell, the Egyptians loved it when she went there. So it's a fascinating moment where she takes Judith and the story of Israel to Israel, and Cleopatra and the story of Egypt to Egypt.
What other important fact would you like us to know before we say our goodbyes?
I think the most important thing about Martha Graham is her ability to be an ambassador. She was wonderful. She was charismatic. She knew the exact right gesture for each person, and that is what made her invaluable. She could speak to people on their terms. She understood people. She had a charisma. And that is something that I believe we need in our current day diplomatic relations. And she really shows that at work.
Wonderful. All right. How do we find out more information about Martha Graham's Cold War?
Please visit my website, victoriaphillips.global, victoria-phillips, phillips.global. You can order the book on Amazon, and would love to take emails and responses via the website.
Keep up the communication. Thank you very much, Victoria Phillips, specializing in Cold War history, writing the book Martha Graham's Cold War. You ever sneak out a dance or two?
I wish I could. My age betrays my inabilities these days, but I do remember the joy of it.
Oh, thank you for that. Victoria, take care to you.